There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen, and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Well, good evening, and thank you for sticking with us for hour two of Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our guests for this evening, we're going to line up. We've got four of them that will be joining us throughout the next hour. We've got Patrick Burns from Court TV, now True TV. Tim, it's been changed over, I guess, as of January 8th, I think.
Really?
It's going to be called True TV and Haunting Evidence. So you could check that out. And they are coming back with new one-hour episodes this year. They'll begin filming those again this spring. Patrick's going to talk to us. We're also going to be talking to Chris Fleming from the TV show Dead Famous. John Zaffis, the demonologist, paranormal researcher, and also Chip Coffey, the medium and paranormal researcher, will be joining us through this hour. We're going to talk about protection.
And you know what, Dave?
What's it?
My old man never did talk to me about protection, so I'm kind of looking forward to this yes, hour. This will be fun. Yeah.
Not the kind of protection that you should have been talked about, Tim.
Oh.
But this is important for all of us. Patrick, we've got you on the line with us, sir. Are you there, sir?
I am here, Tim and Dave.
Oh, thanks a lot. See, I know. Good old friend. What's your name again? Yeah.
I talked to Tim.
I know.
Dave.
That's okay. That's all right, Patrick. I understand. Patch, I told you I wanted to have you on the show because I had an interesting thing happen a few weeks ago. I was, you know, we've gosh, just come off of our busiest time of year. Patrick, what, from about August through December, we were pretty much on the go every weekend doing different paranormal events and functions.
Oh, yeah. It was nonstop, pretty much.
And sometimes you forget the basics, and protection is definitely one of the basics you can't leave out. Because we are opening ourselves up for all kinds of nastiness to follow us if we're not careful. And I know sometimes it's just arrogance. I mean, for God's sakes, we go into some of the most paranormal places on the planet, some of the most highly reported hauntings, and we come home without protecting ourselves before, during, or after. What happened to me, and as I promised a couple weeks ago, I wanted to bring it up on tonight's show, and we'll talk about protection, is... I came back. My daughter has been complaining to my ex-wife that she's seeing ghosts in her room. And, you know, we don't think too much of it because she's, you know, a little girl, overactive imagination. But what was interesting is at one point she was in the bathroom with my ex, and you can see her bedroom from the mirror reflection. And she pointed in the mirror and she said, "See, Mommy, there's the ghost now." You know, Carrie didn't put too much stock into it again, just thinking, okay, whatever. Then she began having night terrors about 2-3 in the morning every night. These loud, just, and it was screaming like I've never heard before. She's woken up the night before, "Mommy, Daddy," you know, just doing the regular call out. And this time it was just blood-curdling screams like she was on fire. I mean, it was horrifying. So it woke us both up. Well, I came upstairs to, you know, investigate at the one point. She was telling me that, you know, there were trolls in her room. So, you know, I thought, honey, no, trolls are only in cartoons, they're not real, they don't exist, it's just in the Billy Goat Gruff stories, and they're just for fun. Don't worry about it. Okay, Daddy, and went back to sleep, and about an hour later started screaming bloody murder again, and went in there, and Carrie had come in and said, "What's going on?" I said, "Well, she's, you know, having issues again." She said, and my daughter began to tell us about how she saw Mommy's shadow in the room. Just her shadow in the room, sitting on her little pup tent that she has. And we said, "Well, honey, we can't do that. Mommy was in her room sleeping." She said, "No, there's shadows moving in my room, Daddy." And, you know, we said, "Okay, just go back to bed. You know, why don't you go sleep in Mom's room for the night?" And I went back down to my, you know, basement dwellings, my my dungeon, as I call it. And was down there for maybe 10 minutes, and Carrie brought her down and said, she's just going to sleep with you. She's still complaining that she sees shadows moving in my room. And I said, okay, sure. And you got to understand, Carrie's very skeptical. I mean, even though I've been doing the show for 2 years and we've remained friends, you know, she hears my stories and everything. She's still very skeptical about this. And I was downstairs for about 15 minutes when suddenly my cell phone rang. And I picked up the cell phone and I said, yeah, what's wrong? And she said, just muffled right in the phone, she goes, get upstairs. There's something in my room. It just walked in and across and back out again. Whoa. So for her to say that, it really threw me for a loop because she just doesn't buy into this. So we went up and, you know, I ended up doing prayers in every room and praying over the bed and praying over everybody. And then, of course, you know, the next day I'm on the phone scrambling to every paranormal person I know to get some tips on what's a good way to, I've got a nasty living here and bothering with my family. So I talked to John. We're going to talk to him a little bit later, and Adam Bly. I ended up doing quite a bit of work afterwards. But this is, I liken that to the fact that you're driving a car and the check engine light or the oil light keeps going on and you just keep ignoring it. And then all of a sudden when it craps out on the side of the road and you have to put all this time and effort and money into fixing it, you know, if you'd have just been doing the checkup from the neck up on these paranormal excursions, you might not bring this nasty stuff home. And I know that you've had a couple of experiences like this as well, correct, Patrick, where you've, you know, inadvertently dealt with something nasty at a place because you didn't protect yourself correctly?
Yeah, and Dave, I'm going to be the first to admit here, really, up until very recently, I mean, we're talking about within the past few months, you know, I've been doing this for years. I've been doing paranormal research, active investigations since about 1999. I never used to protect myself, ever. I go out, I do these investigations, and nothing really out of the ordinary would happen around my house. Now, you know, occasionally we would get activity that would follow me home. From the investigations, you know, we'd have some activity in the house here for a period of 2 or 3 days, and it was stuff that Pam and I saw. You know, it was never affecting the boys. It was never affecting Alec and William. But that has started to change, particularly when I'm out of town doing either the retreats now or I'm off filming the TV show. William and Alec are scared to stay in their room by themselves, and they really are not very forthcoming with why. You know, Pam is like, why do you want to sleep? Just because we're scared. We're scared in our room. And, you know, so I've started taking this a lot more seriously, Dave. I had a couple of incidents that happened to me at the Stanley Hotel when we did the first retreat there. Earlier this year, I think it was back in March and April, we did the two back-to-back events there, if I'm not mistaken, if those are the right dates. We were there, gosh, I think for nearly 2 weeks, you know, for these back-to-back events. And the second event, the last night of investigations, last night of the two events, I was stationed in what was it, room 212, where Jason Hawes had the glass break on him.
No, that's 401.
401. I'm sorry, 401. The room that I was stationed in, and you know, anybody that's been to the darkness events knows, you know, 4 hours worth of ghost hunting. We split people off into four groups, and they rotate out every hour on the hour. I was in there for 3 hours, and nothing's happening to me, right? And the final hour, everybody was noticing that I was sitting in this chair, and I was my head would start to arch back, like something was stabbing me in the neck. And I'm completely oblivious to this. I'm thinking I'm just, you know, I'm just getting tired. I'm getting distraught from, you know, the long investigation. But I would also notice that all of a sudden I would start gasping for air. It was like something was suffocating me for 30 seconds. I hadn't been breathing, and all of a sudden, and myself being the skeptic too, Dave, I was, you know, trying to dismiss it. I'm like, well, you know, it's the altitude, you know, the thinner atmosphere up here is what's causing me to gasp for air. And then I stopped and I'm like, wait a second. We've been up here for almost 2 weeks. I've been sitting in this chair for the last 3.5 hours, and I'm not exerting myself. You know, there's no reason that I should be out of breath sitting there for, you know, not doing anything, you know, not exerting myself in any way. A few people in the room noticed what was going on, and they were like, we need to get Patrick out of here. They got me out of the room. Everything was fine after that. I had another incident that happened at the Stanley at the last event that we did there in, November 8th through the 11th. Yeah, just over a month and a half ago. I think something pushed me down the stairs in the presidential suite where we were staying. I was coming down the stairway and had my equipment in one hand. I had a cup of coffee in the other, and something pushed me from behind, and I ended up spilling my coffee everywhere in an effort to grab onto the banister to keep myself from falling down. And Chris Fleming was in the kitchenette area of the suite at the time and started laughing at me, but it was certainly, I didn't find it to be a laughing matter. It was the first time that anything has ever physically that I have actually physically encountered anything like that in that respect, in that degree.
Well, what are you doing now? What are you adding to your regimen to protect yourself from
Pam, future attacks? My wife Pam is much more metaphysically oriented in this than I am, and she has. I think she puts shields up around me all the time, constantly now, whether I know it or not. She's putting the shields up because she knows I'll probably forget about it. But I'm also using this spray that is sage, white sage oil mixed in with water. And Tiffany Johnson was actually talking about it at Ghost Doc. She said you can go to a metaphysical store and you can pay $15 for a spray bottle, or you can get a little bottle of sage oil spray and you can mix your own. Well, somebody gave me a bottle of this the sage oil spray that I will spray around me anytime that I'm feeling, distraught, feeling, anger sweeping over me or washing over me. I pull out this spray bottle and I spray the immediate area around me to sort of to cleanse it. I mean, and Dave, I like you. I'm a skeptic about a lot of this stuff, but you know, with what has happened to me in the past few months, I think that you're right. I think that we do need to at least entertain the possibility that, you know, something could latch onto us that isn't particularly nice, and we probably, you know, it certainly does not hurt to put up the shields, to take this extra, these extra measures to try and safeguard ourselves against something coming into our lives that we don't want there.
Did you, being skeptical like we are in nature, I mean, like I said, I almost feel foolish now. You know, here I've been doing these. I give talks at our events. You know, we investigate at these events. I watch over everybody, and I totally forget for myself. You know, I mean, do you ever just kind of feel like, oh, geez, look at how stupid I am. I've been investigating this field for how long, and I don't protect myself. This is
exactly.
A lame thing that we're doing.
I know. It really is. Well, up until now, like I said, I've never really had, up until very recently, I should say, I've never really had a reason to, Dave. I mean, nothing out of the ordinary has happened to me. You know, I would hear about people, oh my gosh, you're going into these haunted locations and you're not protecting yourself. You know, here, please do this. You know, I neglected it for years and years and years, and you know, maybe now it's just finally catching up with me. You know, I am starting to take this very seriously, and you know, like I said again, even if it turns out it's nothing malevolent that is attaching itself to us, it certainly does not hurt to take these extra measures to protect ourselves.
Fair enough. Well, Patrick, I want to thank you very much for joining us and sharing some of your stories with us this evening, and for being a good friend of Darkness Radio for the last 2 years.
Oh, Dave, you know it. I love you guys, and looking forward to seeing you all at the Palmer House in 3 weeks.
All right. We'll talk to you then, buddy. Thanks again.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, that's been the, you know, interesting kind of dichotomy here, is here we are investigators and we're not doing what it takes to protect ourselves. As you just heard Patrick said, one of the ways they do it is with sage oil and some of these other ways. We've got on the line with us Chris Fleming, the psychic sensitive from the TV show Dead Famous, also publisher of Unknown Magazine, and a good friend of our show, good friend to us personally. And Chris, I wanted to have you on the show because there's a lot of people now in the field of the paranormal that are calling themselves mediums or calling themselves psychic or sensitives, and they're opening themselves up with things like automatic writing, you know, channeling. How can we protect people like this so that if they're going to open themselves up to this, that they can at least be protected from nasty stuff happening to them? What do you do? Are there certain routines before, during, or after? And what do you recommend people that are in the field of the psychic realm do to protect themselves psychically?
Well, first things first, you know, to answer your first question, dealing with all the people that are coming into this field, people starting to classify themselves as sensitives, mediums, and all that type of stuff. You know, I'm 40 years old. I've been having experiences since I was a child. So we're looking at a total of about 40 years of experience. I mean, things even happened when I was a baby. Yeah, so says my mom. Now, because of all these experiences, I've learned, developed, and do what I do. I've been conditioned. I haven't taken a class to learn how to do this. You know, I haven't just decided in the last 3 years this is what I do. I've been doing this my whole life. And for people to just say now that, well, I'm a medium, or I took a class and I'm psychic, and I'm, you know, you can learn things and techniques using your sixth sense and all that type of stuff. But experience, above and beyond anything else, is the one thing that's going to protect you, because you know what works, you know what doesn't work. And becoming a, you know, channeling, learning how to channel, which I did a few years ago, never tried it, you know. And when I started doing Dead Famous, I started to implement it into what I was doing, because during the seances, I started feeling these spirits not just appear or get images from them, but actually try to meld into my own body, into my own spirit, and speak through me. The one thing that I learned, which I'm sharing with you and everybody listening, is channeling is probably the last resort you want to try until you have many, many years' experiences understanding spirits and how they work. Using Ouija boards, you have to be very careful. It can be very dangerous. Any other types of tools and trying to come in contact with spirits or doing any mediumship, the one thing you have to understand, everybody talks about just, you know, getting the white light to surround you and everything, and that's part of it. But the biggest thing is your mental state. What I mean by that is understanding the earth and the spirit world, the physical and the spiritual. And when you understand that we are souls and spirits and we occupy our physical body for a period of time, we are using this coat of armor, this suit, this thing that we're occupying, such as, you know, say some type of crustacean or whatever goes into a shell. This is our shell, and it's temporary. But it is what allows us to interact in the third dimension, in the physical, and have these emotions and sensations. When we fully understand that and how that works, and then we understand that the spirits and ghosts and everything else that is no longer in the physical realm may have at one time been in the physical realm, or sometimes entities may not never have been in the physical, so they're not allowed to experience some of the emotions and stuff that we do. When you understand that that is how it works, you can begin to then respect and be responsible for the times that you are going to communicate with them. Now, in protecting yourself, okay, by first understanding how it works in the spiritual realm, how it works in our realm, and how the one and the two combine into who we are now, we then have to protect ourselves first mentally and then basically by thinking of ways to protect ourselves, such as with the white light. And it's not just surrounding yourself with a white light, but understanding where it comes from, which is from the other side. There is light and there is dark. And the light is where the Creator is from, all spiritual beings, and all of creation, even the dark, came from. Dark cannot survive in the light. Light can always survive in the dark. That is where you want to be to protect yourself, because it is purity, it is protection, it is love, it's unconditional. So when you ask for that, to protect yourself and everything around you, you're now putting into that frame of mind that nothing can happen to you. But the next thing is that you have to keep that thought and don't stray away from it being unconfident or questioning your own self and saying, well, what if, can I really contact spirits? Can I really do this? What if something happens? You then begin to have to set up parameters. You have to say, I'm only going to allow these types of spirits to come through. Ones that need help, ones that are good and respected, and one at a time.
Okay.
And by setting up those parameters, you're now saying through the light that this is only what I'm going to allow. How do I know this? I've made mistakes of not doing this. If anybody that saw the episode Lucille Ball, where I tried contacting Lucille Ball and I didn't have much effect to it, and then people that see the Winchester House and Albert Hitchcock, where I did not ground myself and I did not put white light around me, I lost control. You have to set up those parameters, okay? Now, I don't care who you are in this world, being a psychic and medium, and think that you can protect everybody around in the table, that is not possible. Now, you can ask for white light to protect them and their spirit guides to protect them, but like I said earlier, their frame of mind and their thoughts of believing in this, respecting this, and setting up their own parameters is up to them, not up to you.
Fair enough.
Well, so Chris, you can protect yourself. You want to take a break?
Yeah, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back. We'll talk a little bit more with Chris Fleming, and then we'll be joined by John Zaffis and then Chip Coffey in a little bit. You're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We'll be back with more Chris Fleming right after this.
Once you have seen Dave and Tim in the light, you'll understand why we must return to The Darkness on the Edge of Town. Stay tuned. There is more to come.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
When Dave was a young boy, he once awoke to find himself staring directly into the eyes of a shadow person. Turns out it was just his life-size cardboard cutout of Donny Osmond.
Go away, little girl. Go away, little girl.
Welcome back to The Darkness on the Edge of Town.
And welcome back to the show. Our guest right now that we're talking to is Mr. Chris Fleming, the psychic sensitive from the TV show Dead Famous. Chris, you know, one thing is we're talking about channeling, mm-hmm. and you were saying that it's not a good idea for people to start monkeying with that. One thing I'm curious about, you know, you said you've had this ability since you were a child and able to do things.
Mm-hmm.
Does it work almost like by allowing these things in, do you kind of have a weak spot? Because I've noticed that there's been on some of the episodes and times we've talked and shows that we've watched with you where something slips in even though you don't want it or it's trying its best to get in. I mean, does opening that door up kind of weaken that and make it a soft spot for the spirits to enter you? Is that something you have to be careful of?
That's a good question. Yeah, that's a really good question, Dave. I'm glad you brought it up because I wanted to go into that. when I talked about the parameters, mm-hmm. okay, was because it was kind of new to me in channeling. I have communicated in other ways. I was opening up too much, saying, just come on through. You know, because if anything comes through, it's a result for the crew. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I was just getting too open that, you know, a ghost down the street was trying to make way through, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a demon was coming through, a ghost was coming through, but who we were trying to get was not coming through because I was not setting up parameters. What I began to realize from my mistakes, as well as some of my successes, you know, and some of those successes that I thought were successful, the producer didn't think was successful because we didn't get that celebrity we were looking for, but yet I had these two other ghosts that came through that were just incredible because things happened around us while it was coming through. You have to not be too open to it. You have to set the parameters, and you have to understand, like I said earlier, the earth and the spirit world, the white light, all that type of stuff. By setting up the parameters, saying, I want to talk to this individual, would this individual please come forward, or someone that knows this individual? You focus on that. You don't focus on anybody coming through. You focus on that individual. Now, at times, you're going to have some spirits try to make their way through that are not that person, not part of that, and you have to push them to the side. And sometimes you have to fight them and say, no, I'm not going to allow this. And then eventually, you know, many times you will be successful in obtaining and communicating with that person.
I'm worried that because of shows like yours and Most Haunted and things, that more people are experimenting with this, you know, transmediumship. What do you recommend for people, you know, before we let you go here, what do you recommend for people to do, or is there things to read? Are there prayers that you find helpful, or visualization, you know, anything like that that you would recommend that they do and work on and strengthen a muscle before they start, you know, trying to interfere and do these things?
Number one, I don't think anybody should try channeling.
Okay.
Unless they are very experienced and knowledgeable about this phenomenon, which can take many, many years. I'm sorry. You just can't do it. If you want to go do it, fine, but you're playing with fire. You really are playing with fire. But the one thing is to, sharpen your abilities and meditations and try non-local communication is basically meditating, breathing, concentrating on breathing, because the only thing that keeps your spirit and soul in your body is your breath. And if you focus on your breath and meditating that and clearing your mind from everything else, you may start getting thoughts, intuitions, and images in your head, which is a form of non-local communication, meaning that there's not a spirit in you, but you're receiving information from somewhere else. And that anybody can do. I think there's no problem with that. But at no time should you allow something to come in for fun or games or disrespect to your own body. Don't ever do that. And if you ever feel something like that, vibrations, shakings, getting dizzy or light, stop. Unless you are with someone that is fully qualified, experienced, and trained in dealing with that type of communication, whether it's voice connect or it's actual full channeling.
How about even doing things like automatic writing?
Automatic writing, I think, is okay as long as you're with an expert in that type of field, not someone that's just experimenting. Because once again, you're allowing that energy to flow through you, and someone sometimes even take over your hand, a part of your body, not a full possession or walk-in, but just a part of you. At any time, you should not just try that out of just say, hey, I'm going to try this tonight, automatic writing. No. You should be practiced by somebody or taught by somebody that is well-experienced in doing that, to make sure that they set up the parameters, teach you about the white light, earth and spirit connection, and everything else before you begin that. Anyone that jumps into it, you're a fool. Sorry.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Chris. And again, thanks for being a part of the show for the last 2 years and part of the events. And hopefully we'll talk to you on Tuesday night at our two-year anniversary show.
Yeah, definitely. Congratulations. You know, happy New Year to everybody coming up. And congratulations on 2 years, guys. You guys are doing awesome.
Yeah, thank you very much, buddy. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
We're going to continue talking here. We're going to take it a little bit of a different step. Of course, now we're going to talk to John Zaffis, who's a demonologist, you know, grew up under the tutelage of his uncle, Ed Warren, who was a demonologist. And there will be some more theological background on this. So, again, we are going to talk a little bit more of the religious statue at this point. So if it's something that bothers you or offends you, you can feel free to change the station. I think there's some really good, easy listening over on, I don't know, some other channel. But right now I'm going to talk to John. John, thanks a lot for coming over to the show. We appreciate you being here.
Hey, buddy, I'm here.
You are the guy, man. Twice now I've had something mucking with my kids, and John Zaffis is the first guy I make a call to. And both times the advice that, you and, consequently Adam joins in with really helped me kind of keep this stuff, you know, in check at our house. And you and I, we were discussing this after my last interruption. You were the one that, inspired me to do the show tonight, saying, you know, Dave, we have to remind ourselves. And the thing I loved most about your story about reminding ourselves is John is great. He goes, Dave, he goes, dude, you know, I'm a man. I forget this stuff. So I've got a piece of paper tacked up on my garage door telling me, remember to say your prayer, send them back. Don't bring them in with you. And that stuck with me because I thought, geez, yeah, there's so many times that you just don't think before we act and we do these investigations. And I wanted to talk to you, John, about, you know, the theological aspect and, what you've learned with demonology. I mean, first of all, we are seeing, it seems like, an increase in more of the really negative stuff coming out.
Well, absolutely. And here again, due to the amount of recognition and the different things that are occurring and happening, with the things on the negative end, the demonology end of it, in different perspectives, a lot of it's coming out into the forefront, and a lot more is being talked about now, so it's a lot more open. So there's a heck of a lot more exposure all the way around within the field and outside of the field.
Do you think that it's because of all of this dabbling that, the dark energies are growing because people are doing it and not knowing what they're doing and not taking the precautions?
I think it's a combination of actually both. I think you got a lot more on a negative level being brought to the forefront, and it's given a tremendous amount of recognition today. And also, I think people very innocently are, you know, opening up doors, getting involved with things, because there's such an intriguing interest in trying to figure out, is there such a thing as, you know, the demonic, negative, do the deities exist? People are very curious with this, more so now than I've ever seen in the past. And I see in a lot of situations where people I've dealt with for years, Dave, that did not believe in any of the negative stuff, and now that they're, you know, moving along and getting involved with it and opening up the doors, a lot of situations have increased tenfold.
How do we know the difference between just, you know, this was brought up interestingly to me by Grant Wilson from the Ghost Hunters at one of our events. You know, just because you're getting poked or something's getting knocked over in front of you, something that's, you know, almost seems violent in nature, doesn't necessarily mean that it's malevolent or evil. Maybe that's the only way they can get your attention. How do we know between a malevolent, you know, beginning of a malevolent problem and just the spirit screaming out to get our attention for whatever reason, for help or acknowledgement?
Well, here again, too, that's something that you have to look at very openly. You have to remember 35 years ago when I started, you got pushed or shoved or you got scratched, that was considered something on a negative level. Today, I view that totally different because I look at it, you know, if a person was mean and rotten and malicious in life, well, they're going to be like that as being a spirit also. But what we have to be careful of with this, when it's integrating with that, if you have, you know, a ghost or a human spirit and they're nasty with the energy, they're going to attract negative energy and negative influences in with it also. So you got to be very guarded. A lot of times I move forward very cautiously with cases. Unless it has anything to do with the kids, then I'll look at that a little bit differently. But, you know, here again, if somebody gets pushed or they're getting tapped, do I think that's something negative? No. You know, a lot of times we could be dealing with that. And the amount of recognition given within our field today, the energies are a lot stronger and they're manifesting and coming more to the forefront due to the recognition, due to the law of recognition and attraction. So I do view it a little differently over the past several years on the way I interpret something, whether I'm going to turn around and say, all right, we're dealing with something that's a human spirit that's just a nasty bugger, but I got to be cautious. Does he have any influences, any of the energies that could be affiliated with something on a negative level? So I always say you got to be very cautious when moving forward. I'd rather be safe than sorry.
What do you do now before leaving to an investigation? what do you do to protect yourself before you even get there?
I'm a very firm believer in the power of prayer. And there's several different ones that I have instituted with what I do before I go and when I'm there and when I actually leave. And one of them is, you know, a little guardian angel one that I do, the St. Michael's Prayer. And these are just the different, you know, basics that I use to help protect me. Now, not everybody out there is Roman Catholic.
Right.
And a lot of people look at things differently, and you have different prayers in different belief systems. I always tell people, call upon that. Always call upon the positive forces to be able to help protect you, because positive will always outweigh negative.
John, what about the layman out there? He's not a churchgoer, not pious, doesn't, you know, have much stock in religion, believes maybe that there's a God in Jesus, whatever, but there's just no, you know, no forced religion in their life. There's no regular religion. Can they still call upon, you know, help? I mean, is it heard, or is it, you know, ignored because they've kind of turned their back, or they're not going to church every week?
Well, I don't necessarily believe because a person doesn't go to church every week that God's going to turn his back. Okay?
Okay.
Now, people look at things very differently today. Organized religion is deteriorating. Mm-hmm. It's a very well-known fact. It doesn't matter what belief system it is. Throughout every religion, things are deteriorating. People are looking at things differently. People just don't accept things like our parents and grandparents did.
Right.
We view things a lot differently, and I still am a very firm believer in the power of good. Now, I keep an open mind. Yes, am I a demonologist? Absolutely. But people call upon the positive. And, you know, some people believe in the white light. They believe there's this magnificent, brilliant energy, Buddha. You know, you have different ways and different things in structures of what people do. And this is a positive thing to always bring forth to help protect yourself. Even though a person might not believe in organized religion, or they might not believe that there's a God or a devil, people still believe in that powerful force of good. And it's something that I always tell people to bring forth and to help protect yourself.
Well, John, so I'm not much of a churchgoer. I'm not much of a religious person, but something starts banging around in my house, so I go over to my local church and I fill a little squirt bottle with holy water and I come in and I start dousing it. Is that a good idea? Is that going to do it, or am I going to just piss it off even more?
It can go either way, Dave, to be very honest with you. Depends on what's happening, what's occurring when you do these different things. Here again, we go from our belief system and the power in what we believe in. Because we are the guardians over our homes. We are the guardians of many different facets within our lives, our children, everything. And you have to have that strong willpower to be able to combat something, to be able to help break that. So these are the different influences and the different things that you take into consideration when you're telling somebody, okay, you know, use a few of the religious prayers or the holy water to help, you know, alleviate things or break things. And it comes from the structure of the individual. Does it work with each and every person? No. But the majority of the people that are going through something and, you know, they're not this devout type of a religious individual, you still walk away looking at it differently once you've been affected and once you go through these different things, and it does change your way of thinking.
Well, I know Adam told me, Dave, before you try to combat this thing in your house, you got to kind of make it right with God, you know, before you try to step up and use religious, you know, avocation on this, you know, pray to God, ask for forgiveness for the things that you've done, for do this, you know, he believes that it's kind of making right before you try to stand up and, you know, otherwise it's kind of like the joke of the vampire from the movie where the guy holds up the cross and the vampire grabs it and bends it and says, this won't work on me, you have no faith. Is
right.
That what you find to be true? If I'm not clear, if I haven't cleared that path between me and the big guy or whoever you believe in, do you think it's no more powerful than me looking at the spirits and saying, hickory dickory dock? You know, I mean, am I just spouting words at it because I, you know, my religious convictions aren't that strong?
Okay, I can look at this a little bit differently because I personally know you.
Right.
Okay, So when I speak to you or you have something going on and you call me and I give you advice, I already know what you're going to do.
Okay.
And I know how you're going to view it. Is it always going to be like that with everybody out there? No. You know, certain people do have an understanding that, you know, when you're going to invoke upon something from a religious perspective, you're going to put all your might behind that. And I know what you would do.
Right.
Because you're going to you're concerned about the kids, you're concerned about the family. So you're going to do that, and the conviction within the power of that does help. And a lot of people, Dave, don't have that. Regardless of what their convictions or their belief system is, they still can call upon something, and it's not going to be worth a hill of beans because they really don't believe in what they're doing. So is it really going to be something that's going to work and not work? No. Has there been times, Dave, that I can honestly say to you, I've dealt with people, I felt that nothing was going to work, I would give them the recommendations and they would do it, and it had helped them and it made them view things a little bit differently? Yes. Because the one thing about me, and you guys realize all that, I'm not a Bible thumper.
Right.
I'm the farthest thing in the world from it. But I still do have my convictions, and I do personally follow them as far as I go. But what other people choose to do and how they use those tools that some of us present out there, that's up to the individual. And that always goes back to where a lot of times you'll always hear me talk about free will. Now, the one common thing, and I can't even say I haven't done this when I was younger. You know, we don't pay attention to too much what's happening as far as our values go with different things, and we just beep bop along, then something happens, and then, you know, oh, okay, I better do some prayers or I better do this. And we're hoping that that's going to fix all of that each and every time it does catch up to you.
Okay.
Okay? I do firmly believe it does catch up into you because you have to have some type of positive structure as far as whatever it is. And you've heard me say this many a times. I don't care if you worship a crystal in the middle of a floor. It's still on a positive.
Right.
So I always gear towards that to be able to help people to pull in on the positive levels.
Okay. All right. Well, John, and again, you recommend, we got to wrap up your session here and go to Chip, but you recommend a prayer before, you know, getting right with yourself and doing that, a prayer during the event, and then before you walk in the home of your home, what do you say? I mean, do you just say, "Hey, if you're here, you're not welcome"? Do you actually say a prayer?
The one most common one that I use is always the St. Michael's prayer.
Okay,
that is the most common one to help protect us. And like I said, when I deal, especially if there's children involved, there's a little one that I do. It's posted on my website. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom His love commits me here. Every this day or night, be at my side to light and guard, to rule and guide. AM.
Very nice. Well, thank you very much. And I do have, if people want to go to darknessradio.com, click on the Hot Topics tab. I just put up the three prayers that John shared with me with the photos and his little letter to us about it. So, John, thank you very much for joining
us
tonight. All right,
before you go, I just want to let you know I've been communicating with Auntie Judy and Mom.
Oh, geez.
Oh,
God.
All right, guys,
here comes more therapy. Thanks a lot, John. Take care.
Okay,
Happy
bye.
New Year. We're going to take our last break. We're going to come back with Medium Chip Coffee. You're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town.
We thought El Chupacabra meant the cup of coffee in Spanish.
Mi amo Eduardo Especial. ¿Cómo está el yay?
What you talking about, Willis?
Shows you what we know. Stay tuned. There's more to come from the darkness on the edge of town.
If you read Taps Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taps Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at tapsparamag.com.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness Monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
Ghosts, goblins, witches, creatures of the night. Yep, that just about covers everybody Dave and Tim have ever dated.
Oh my God, this girl's really turning me on.
Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me and my lovable and affable co-host, Mr. Tim Dennis. So, Tim.
Yeah.
Have you had any problems on any of the events coming back? Have you had anything seem like it's been following you that has bothered you in, you know, either a good way or a bad way?
You know, I haven't, but I asked John something on the ride up to the Stanley.
Uh-huh.
I've had the worst year for health ever in the history of my being.
Right.
And in fact, last Sunday I slipped, hit my head. Got a little concussion for the 18th time. I've never been in worse health in my life. And one of the things John said to me is, well, you don't go on the investigations very often, do you? And I said, no, but I do every once in a while. But I've never taken any measures to protect myself. Oh, sure, I'm your typical guy. I think maybe somebody else is bringing the protection. But, I don't know. It made me wonder. So John actually gave me probably the best advice he could give me, and that was, you know what, if you feel like you're having a problem with it, you know, go see whoever it is you need to go see. Say a few extra prayers and, put yourself at ease of mind.
Well, we've got on the line with us our final guest for the evening. And, Chip, thanks for being patient and hanging in with us. Our guest is Chip Coffey. He's a medium. If you've been watching the fantastic new show on A&E that airs every Monday night, Paranormal State, you've seen the very talented Mr. Chip Coffey, who is a spiritual medium and has helped with some of the cases that they've done. Now, you had an interesting story for us about something that followed you home from one of the cases that you filmed. Is that correct?
Absolutely. It's the show that's coming on January 7th on Paranormal State called Pet Cemetery.
Okay. Why don't you give us a little bit of background on what happened to you?
We went to a location in Maine that was a home where every animal that had lived in the house for several previous owners had been very nervous living in the house, very agitated and scared and whimpered and whined. And many of the dogs that had lived in the house had actually gotten out of the house and gone into the road out in front of the house, and it's almost as though they went out there to commit suicide. They would get smashed in the road, and there were a lot of animals that were buried on the property. And both Lorraine Warren and I actually sensed that there had probably been some animal sacrifice even on the property. I'm not sure if the episode is going to get into that, but there were a lot of animal burials on the ground. And as soon as I came home, the morning that I came home from taping the two episodes in Maine, 3 o'clock in the morning, there was a huge rap in my house on the wall that woke me and my dogs up here in the house. And a couple of days after that, two of my dogs, who are very docile and got along very well and had been living in the same house for a while, got into a death match in the backyard and were just ripping each other to shreds. I got in the middle of it and got chewed up pretty badly myself. I came to discover later that Ryan Buell, who is one of the central people with Paranormal State, the lead character, if you will, in the show, he had similar experiences at 3 a.m. on the night that he returned home, same night that I had my experience, and had some incidents with his dog as well around that time afterwards. So we both found it necessary to do some pretty hefty cleansing rituals around our house after that.
Well, now, I know I was with you at Waverly Hills. And actually, John Zaffis just made a comment about my mom and aunt. He made friends with them at the Waverly Hills event. My mom and aunt attended that with us. And my mom went through Waverly Hills the first night with no issues. And the second night, I was able to walk with her through there. And she didn't get very far that night. She was just feeling really uneasy and uncomfortable. And I know we came into a room with you, and I told you, I said, Chip, is there something we can do? My mom's really feeling off-balanced. Can you recite for us real quickly, what was the little prayer of protection that you recited there on the spot? Do you recall that?
Ooh, you're going to have to refresh my memory on that one.
Ooh, I don't know. That's why I was hoping you'd know it.
Well, one thing I will say is I use a variety of different prayers for protection. Okay. And on my website, if people will go to chipcoffee.com and go to the resources page, right at the top of the resources page, I have what's called powerful prayers. And there are several prayers of protection, including some excerpts from the Latin rites of exorcism called the Rituale Romanum. If you're having a negative spirit infestation, they hate Latin. They really hate Latin. So there's a Latin phrase that's there. It's phonetically written out, kind of like Hooked on Phonics, okay. So you can actually pronounce it.
Hooked on Phonics, the paranormal edition.
Paranormal Hooked on Phonics. And so there are some prayers on my website that I use a lot when I'm out. And John was very good to mention the St. Michael prayer. It's used a lot. You know, we are both Catholics, and we both use the St. Michael prayer, but you don't have to be Catholic for it to work. I don't even believe you have to be a believer. Just recite the prayer. It's good if you believe in it, but the truth of the matter is, if you're calling them in, they'll come in no matter whether you believe in them or not.
All right. Now, I'm curious. I wanted to have you on to kind of wrap up the show. We had Chris kind of talk about transmediumship and that, you know, he's pretty well known for letting the spirits in and how to protect from that. Being a medium and dealing with the things that you deal with and the trend of everybody seeming to think they're sensitives or psychics now, what do you recommend people do to protect themselves so that they're not opening themselves up to an ass-kicking from the paranormal realm before they start trying to, you know, open themselves up to spirit communication?
I believe that every person should always err on the side of caution, because it's like you're walking into a dark room without a flashlight. You don't know what you're going to encounter once you get in there. There could be good stuff, mom and pop garden variety spirits in the place, or there could be the bad guys in there. So always err on the side of caution. Before every investigation I go on, I always spend some time in prayer. I always try to do as much as I can to put myself in a protected state. I do an opening prayer, usually the St. Michael prayer, and I ask my spirit guides and guardian angels to be close. And before I leave, I do a closing prayer and say, you know, it's kind of like last call. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Don't go home with me.
Right.
So, and I always travel with holy water and a St. Michael medal and a St. Benedict medal and other blessed medals around my neck, 24/7, 365. And you just have to, I believe, a faith-based, some sort of belief system, whether it's faith-based or just a personal belief system of something that's good-oriented, light-oriented, is your best protection against anything that you could wade into.
Do you believe that there's a danger rising with people believing that they're sensitives or opening up to that? I shouldn't say believe it, because then I make it sound like there's a bunch of idiots out there thinking that they're psychics, but, you know, maybe they're becoming more in tune to it. Do you think that there's going to be more problems because people were not trained properly and didn't utilize this growing up and have already had the pitfalls? Do you think there's going to be a lot more trouble with people, you know, getting walk-ins and dealing with possessions?
I absolutely believe that's true. I believe that with as many ghost groups as we've seen pop up around the world, people that really are watching a television show, whether it's, you know, Ghost Hunters or Paranormal State, and all of a sudden they get the interest, but they don't know the proper protocol, how to go out and do things, how to really fully investigate, and many of them just don't know how to protect themselves, or they feel invincible. And that's the worst attitude that you can have, is to go in and think, oh, well, I'm not going to be scared, because I've heard, you would not believe the number of horror stories I've heard about people who do get some sort of attachment or something following them home, and then they're calling us on the phone and saying, hey, what the heck can I do to get rid of this? So it's better to in the beginning, just err on the side of caution and do whatever you can to put yourself in a protected state before you ever go into these locations.
Now, let me ask you this, Chip, and this is going to be a double-edged sword. We have about a minute left to answer. It'll be a tougher one for you, but I want to see if you can give me something. A lot of people are brought up believing that psychics and mediums are of the devil or of evil. And I know that they've even come to me at the events, and they're like, you know, I had a reading from Chip, and I don't know if I shouldn't have done that because of my religious convictions. Do you believe that because their intent when they went into it was of fear that could be opening a door for more nasty, negative stuff to come through, and if they remain in the light and ask for validity from their loved ones, that they'll be more protected and safe? Do you think that consulting a medium or psychic and being negative can have an influence on them that way?
I believe that if you come into it with pure intent, that you're going to get a good experience in coming from it. And I know that I personally, I can't speak about other psychics and mediums, but most of the ones that I choose to associate with, we are people of God. We are people that believe in the light and walk in the light, and we walk a path of good. And the fear of coming to open that door in that respect, I don't believe there's a danger there. I just believe that what's going on is that you're going to get a good experience because the intent of the person that you're coming to is also pure.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, Chip. And again, thanks for being a part of our family here for the last 2 years. And we look forward to a long and fruitful relationship with you, buddy.
Well, you guys are the best. Much love and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. And remember, if you want more information from Chip Coffee, you can go to chipcoffee.com. And that's C-O-F-F-E-Y, chipcoffee.com. You can also visit John Zaffis, Z-A-F-F-I-S.com. You can also go to visit Chris Fleming at unknownmag.com. That's Unknown Mag. And then our first guest for this hour was Patrick Burns. You can check him out at ghosthounds.com. That's GHOSTHOUNDS.com. Thank you all for joining us. And remember, on our site, darknessradio.com, click on the Hot Topics, and you can read all the prayers that John Zaffis sent us for your protection. Thank you again. We'll be back next week. And remember to tune in on January 1st from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Central for our live two-year anniversary show. Thanks for making it a successful 2 years.